Zelensky is expanding the war, not just by firing deeper into wild berries and that kind of economic targets in Russia. He struck an Iranian vessel in the Caspian Sea over the weekend. Tehran has accused Kiev of hostile criminal act. Abbas Araghchi, the foreign minister from Iran, made this interesting statement here. He said that Zelensky has attacked an Iranian commercial vessel, killing a sailor. And he calls on the EU High Representative Kallas to make clear what the freeloader in Kiev did cannot go unanswered. So what in the heck is going on with Zelensky here? Let me show you what Zelensky has said into why he's going here.
If Iran, from the first year of the war, gave new page, new technology to Russia, it was Shahid drones. They gave thousands of these drones first year of the war. Then they gave licenses. What did they do? Did they attack us? I think yes. So they already did it. But we have to be honest. Iranians and North Koreans already attacked us.
Okay, so we're 4.5 years into this. Why did he, if he said in the first year of war, why did he just now attack and destroy, or at least attack and disable an Iranian commercial vessel for that justification?
Well, to be honest, I don't know if that was done deliberately, because initially the report was that they struck a Russian ship sending goods to Iran. So I think your Ukrainian intelligence actually got this one wrong. But then when it became apparent that it was an Iranian ship, Zelensky, remember who was giving that interview, Laura Loomer, we'll just leave it at that. Sort of a self-parody, it's a self-parody of a journalist. This is a man who's desperate to spin anything in a way that seemed positive. The United States right now is having an extraordinarily difficult time with Iran. Donald Trump had to cease hostilities at a moment when he's saying he was going to bring the hammer down because we're out of ammunition. And now there's a growing recognition that we've got nothing left. It's over. There's literally nothing we can do. And there's frustration. And so Zelensky's now basically hitting that button before he comes to talk to Trump. And he's saying, look, Iran is a problem here too. We're doing you a favor, America. We hit an Iranian ship. I don't think he knew he was hitting an Iranian ship when they struck it, but now he's taking credit for it. And then he's throwing in North Korea. I mean, because there's rumors now, possibly true, that the North Koreans are going to provide up to 30,000 troops who are going to defend part of the Russian borders. The North Korean troops do not fight in the Donbass, Zaporozhye, or Kherson. It's purely a Russian operation. But they'll come up and take a sector. They helped with the liberation of Kursk, and they'll now defend a sector, freeing up 30,000 Russian troops to come down and, do that thing we were talking about in Odessa. And so now he's going to be putting that marker out there, too. This is just a sign of Zelensky's desperation. This is the same thing with Europe. Basically, declare a war on the world in order to, go down with the Ukrainian ship. Because, guys, the Ukraine is the Titanic. It's hit the iceberg. Ain't nothing going to save it. You can put the band on there. They can play all the music you want. You can have guys running around on top, and it looks good for a while. The ship's going down. How long it's going to take for it to sink, don't know. But I do know this. It's sinking, and it ain't going to recover. And Zelensky's trying to pretend that somehow we can patch the hole and keep the Titanic on course. We can't.
Does he think, though, that whether it was an accident or intentional, he certainly is now saying it's an intentional. And so he says, yeah, they're at war with us, and so we sink that ship. Does he think that somehow that can spawn additional support for him, that somebody will say, well, let's do more for Ukraine? Because I can't really come up with a good reason why he would want to do that.
Again, I don't think that this was pre-planned, so I think we're seeing reaction here. And so it's reactive. So he's saying things that he think will resonate well with Trump. Iran provided weapons to Russia. Right now there's a Ukrainian theme of Russia providing weapons and intelligence to Iran to bring harm to America. I think Marco Rubio dispelled that. But, this is part of the Ukraine. This is a propaganda war. That's what people need to understand. We are in the midst of an information war where, things are being blown out of proportion. Anything that is sympathetic to the Russian cause, the reality of Russia, is suppressed. anything that magnifies the potential of Ukrainian victory or the, you know, the, you know, legitimacy of the Ukrainian cause is magnified. And so here we have a situation where, you know, Iran did provide a Shahid drone technology to the Russians when they needed it in 2022, 2023. Russia's licensed it. Zelensky's not wrong here. And now he's paying the price. And so he's trying to use this as a way of getting Donald Trump to have even more sympathy for Ukraine, to commit more resources. I think he's going to run into a brick wall. I'll just give you my prediction of what's going to happen. You remember the dressing down Zelensky got the last time he went to the White House? I think Zelensky's about to get slapped hard by Trump, because Trump is not a stable man right now. One only has to look at the deal he did with Saudi Arabia. And we're talking about a six-month negotiation to bring nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia, finally concluded. And then Donald Trump blows a fuse and says, none of this happens unless you agree to the Abrams Accords, which are never part of the negotiations. And the Saudis said, pound sand. I mean, this, you know, so now that agreement's done. This is Donald Trump. He promised to license Patriot technology. Zelensky's going to come in and overplay his hand. And Donald Trump, I think, is going to snap, and I think you're going to see Zelensky get tossed out of the White House. That's my prediction.
Yeah, well, there's certainly some history there. I want to go down a path of one other thing you said regarding the Iran war. You talked about our problem with ammunition and how that has been expended during the war and what we have left to continue prosecuting the war. And the other thing you mentioned about the propaganda war. It turns out that some of the victims of the targets maybe of this propaganda war are the American people. Here is Mike Waltz over the weekend trying to dismiss that. Gary, let's play the one here. It's called Waltz Weapons.
A lot of stockpiles were depleted, not only from what we gave Ukraine over the last however many years, 4 or 5 years, and the administration inherited a depleted situation from not only Ukraine, but also the ongoing fight with the Houthis under the Biden administration and a depleted military under the Biden administration. So they have decided, one, they're going to new types of munitions, cheaper munitions, new technologies, but also with these new defense budgets, rebuilding our great military. Clear. The U.S. military, and I've verified this every which way, has everything that it needs to conduct this campaign as effectively as it needs to be. And I have to tell you, the people that are leaking this nonsense deserve to be in jail.
Okay, so apparently, I guess that's Vice President Vance and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dan Kane, who I guess he need to be in jail, because they are definitely saying there's some big issues here. So what are we to make of what apparently the Vice President and the Chairman are saying, vice what Ambassador Waltz is saying regarding how much ammunition we have to keep fighting?
Well, remember, Waltz is the public face. He's not a policymaker. He's the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. So his job is to serve as a sounding board for American policy, to project it into the international community. One of the ways that you, again, we come back to, you know, Thomas Schelling's war game theory, the ability to, project pain. That if you have that ability to project pain, it brings with you a certain deterrence value, because people say, I don't want that pain projected onto me. So I am now deterred. And Mike Waltz's job is to, basically use the perception of American power in this international forum to bully nations into compliance. This is his job. That's all his job is. He's literally a mafia strong arm man. He's going around, collecting the payouts from the various, bar owners and store owners. He's a thug. He's a straight up thug. But it's hard to be a thug when suddenly it turns out that because you're the thug's only good if people think that the big boys are coming through to break your neck. As long as you're afraid of the big boys, you're going to pay the payout. But now Waltz is confronted with the fact that there are no big boys. There's a bunch of old men with bad knees, arthritis in the hands, limp along, torn rotator cuff, and nobody's afraid of these people anymore. America's been shown to just be this empty shell of a power. We can't beat Iran. Let's just let that sink in for a second. We can't beat Iran. Not only that, Iran is beating us. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're losing this war. We lost this war. Iran hits us hard. We're blowing up empty buildings. We don't know what we're hitting at all. And we don't have the ability to go deep anymore. We used all that in the first 39 days of conflict. We didn't suddenly magically wave a magic wand and have all of our defense industry wake up and go, we're going to produce a whole bunch more missiles in a very short period of time. We're producing nothing, ladies and gentlemen. The money that's been allocated hasn't reached there. We aren't increasing our production yet. We may down the road, but it'll take years for this to happen.
Yeah.
Years for this to happen. Meanwhile, Donald Trump reengaged saying, I want more intense conflict. It hasn't been more intense. It was more intense the first 39 days. Why? We don't have the ammunition. Nothing. And here you are. Look at the time it takes, 64 months to build an SM-3 missile, but we've blown through two-thirds of our SM-3. THAAD, 80% of the THAAD missiles are gone, 53 months. SM-6, JASMs, Tomahawks, we only had 90 of these precision strike munitions. It takes 46 months. We had 90. We used 80. We got 10 left. Guys, it's over. We have no ammunition. What we're using are HIMARS and ATACMS missiles on Kuwait, Bahrain, and the UAE to strike targets along the coastline. And that creates a perception of power. We use these JDAMs, which is basically the joint, the standoff bombs, but they're not powered so that your airplanes have to go high, drop, satellite guides them in on the target. Well, one of the problems with JDAMs is they get jammed. I mean, people, go look at what the Russians are doing to the JDAMs by the Ukrainians. They're jammed, they get shot down, and all that. We're not hitting anything. And what we go in with deep, we're bombing empty buildings. We don't know what we're striking, and we're just burning through ammunition. And Donald Trump said, I really want to put the pressure up. And the military came to him and said, we can't. We don't have anything left. And if we continue this, we'll be totally defenseless right now. All of our air defense is stripped away. And the Iranians have ballistic missiles that will never end. And right now they're doing a lot of harm to us. They're taking out hangars that they shouldn't be taking out, but they're taking them out. And if we continue this war, they'll take out all of the hangars. We'll have nothing left. We've lost this war, so we stopped the war. Now, he hasn't declared a formal seat. We just stopped bombing. And now the Iranians went out and said, will you stop bombing? We'll stop our missiles. So there's a ceasefire that isn't a ceasefire. And this is the reality right now. We can't win this war. Now, so Waltz is out there saying these things. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, Trump is being briefed on the reality by J.D. Vance, by General Kane, by others. And there are people who are leaking this to the press. And here I agree with Waltz. And look, I believe in the free press. Absolutely. It's our responsibility as journalists to speak openly. And if we gain access to information, I mean, we use our own due diligence to say, are we bringing harm, true harm to the country? But as the New York Times in the New York Times versus the United States decided in the during the Pentagon Papers case, they said the government can't hide lies behind a wall of secrecy. And that's the responsibility of the press to expose these lies so the American people can make a decision, especially when the consequences of the lies are American soldiers dying in a foreign land. Literally, that's what that Supreme Court case was all about. And so we have the responsibility to do this. So, yes, if I receive information that says we're running out of ammunition and we have the president trying to promote a war contingent upon the availability of ammunition, that puts American lives at risk in a foreign land. We have a duty and responsibility to bring this to the American people so they can act accordingly. That's our job. But if I'm in government and I signed a non-disclosure agreement and I have a class, I'm not allowed to leak it to the press. And so I do agree with Mike Waltz. The people who leak this to the press, they need to be found out and prosecuted, or else there's no reason to have secrecy. So he's not wrong there, but you know, thankfully there are people who have the courage to call out lies when they do. And it's someday, I think, not now, but someday the judiciary will recognize the intent of that Supreme Court finding, New York Times versus United States. When the government is using secrets to hide the truth, and the consequences of this is dead American soldiers, you have a responsibility to talk about it, and it isn't a crime, therefore, to leak this information. I think we need to get to that point.
Yeah, 100% agree with you on that. And then the last few minutes here we have, I'd like your real quick take on, there was a, before Senator Graham suddenly passed away from whatever source, so we're not going to worry about that at the moment, but obviously we used to have him on here a lot with his crazy statements, and we'd have that weird, you know, here comes a crazy statement, whatever. Well, that's over. So he's gone now. But there was a group that was in the middle of doing a documentary on him. And they released some of that before they released the whole thing here. And I thought this one clip here was really interesting because it shows the mentality almost of like children that were playing at war and not serious statesmen trying to find it into a war and a benefit to our country. Watch this.
Virtually everything they have has been knocked out now. Their missile count is going way down.
Look what we've done here.
I know.
I almost cried.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how long have we been pushing this?
Well, I mean, you've been pushing this for years, right?
Right. It's here. I talked to Trump this morning.
It's literally.
Oh, he's jacked. Yeah. It's the best thing I've ever done. He loves blowing stuff up. So, you know, there are a lot of people inside didn't want to do it. So I've had my challenges. But President Trump, when he gets into the zone, he listens, he asks good questions, you know, no tweeting. He has done nothing. He hadn't tweeted much at all. No drama. He's been a great wartime president. I said last night that Trump and Bibi are like Roosevelt and Churchill. I mean, they're the right two guys to confront this evil.
Roosevelt and Churchill, what say you?
First of all, I think we need to be honest and open here. These weren't spontaneous comments made by the perfumed princess in charge, you know, the former perfumed princess, Lindsey Graham, who I openly despise and will always despise. There's a documentary film crew there. He's saying this for posterity. He's saying this, and this is carefully scripted. They can shut off the camera until he gets his act together and whatever. He knows what he's saying here. This is part of the Lindsey Graham propaganda machine that he's been propagating for some time now. Understand the open hypocrisy of this man, because on occasion, Lindsey Graham could be articulate and say things that were honest, such as Donald Trump is a liar, the worst man in the world who should never be president of the United States. He said that back in 2016. Now, nothing's changed about Donald Trump, except the fact that now Lindsey Graham finds Donald Trump convenient to promote his warmongering policies that, you know, just it can make me sick to my stomach as somebody, you know, this is a man who was, you know, using Iwo Jima as an excuse to invade Karg Island. I'm like, well, wait a minute, Lindsey, sort of a Marine thing. You know, we made a decision in the 1980s to stop building memorials to dead Marines that we thought maybe it'd be better to fight smarter, maneuver warfare, things of that nature. And whatever happened to diplomacy, this is a man who has never been in armed combat in his life. He's a lawyer who's been there. He went to Afghanistan, stayed in an air-conditioned office, never got near the fighting, that wouldn't know. He would puke if blood had splattered on his boots or his uniform. And he's out there promoting the death of people, the death of people. He's the most disgusting human being in the world. And if there's a place in hell for him, I hope he's roasting there right now like the fat, overstuffed pig that he is. And I apologize, but I despise the man. He is responsible for the deaths of millions of people. Moreover, he's responsible for the death of America. And if the Americans don't understand that we are dead, read the Constitution, understand what's happening in this country right now. Look at everything that's happening in its totality. We no longer function as a constitutional republic. And a large reason out of the policies that have been espoused and promoted by Lindsey Graham since he became a U.S. Senator in 2003.
Wow. Well, that's an arguable position and a defendable one. And it stands on its own. Your views are what you say they are. And there's a lot to go through with that. So anyway, thank you very much for coming on today. Sorry to cut it a little bit short, but we have about 1 minute before we have Trita Parsi on, who's going to give us some views on the Iranian side and what is going on with that war there. That'll be in just 1 minute at 12 o'clock here on the channel. But Scott, as always, delight to have you on and really appreciate your views. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
We don't actually have sponsors, and there's a reason for that, because we don't want to have to hit you over the head with a bunch of ads. Hit that like button. And of course, share this with somebody you love.